Mr. Dobson, Reel 12. What was your own personal health like at this time, and the health of generally within the unit?
I think everybody was fit. I've never been sick or anything like that. So I think I was tip top like that.
There must have been quite a bit of attention paid to hygiene.
Oh, yes. You have to keep the stock clean for your fancy, you know, and your regular socks, and washing them and that. You know.
Was there much disease then?
Not that I remember.
But that must have been a constant fear, was it?
Oh, yes, that's one thing also, you know. As I was up here, ever since I was going to go back through, I sort of, you know, I was conscious that I keep myself away. So I did.
What was the weather like at this time? Because I think it was September, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was like,
back end of 1952, wasn't
yeah.
it?
It was putting in a bit, but not in the winter. You know, it's a bit worse to get here. I think it's far north, it would be clear. But yeah, no, we didn't get the thunderstorm kind of going, did we? Because the door's not there. Really, not bad. Not bad.
We did
plenty of trim, so it must have been all right.
What sort of state was the camping in general?
Well, I don't know. It was pretty clean. It was kept clean, you know, rather good. I mean, Jeffrey's the CEO. He was stripping and all that, and doing everything perfect. As much as you could, and done good, and he's done good. They like the tip top. He was stripping it. You know, so, not to do it.
What about fresh water?
Well, that was in like a tanker. Those tankers brought in a lot, you know.
And this was the water that you used for your washing,
yeah,
as well as drinking.
Yeah, we used to get out of the rivers. These places that was purified. And that. I did go to one once, a little while. But that's where we used to go, the rivers.
You mentioned there about the Colonel Jeffries wanting everything done properly and everything clean. What was the general standard of appearance? Was it as strict as it had been in the past when you'd been, for example, in Germany and in Britain? So were kit inspections, were they as strict and as often?
You didn't get as much. You hadn't, the gear you had wasn't, what you had to go in, you know. It was having to do with you know, the jeans and that. So really you didn't make your bed like you used to do, you know, kept it clean. You had more sleep than that sort of that. But I took it because I remember that, because then, we had nothing to do with it until I got there. We hadn't then, when I wrote it. So you had to drop a little cow cutter and then went there when you were down with it. But no, I mean, it was kept, we all would try our best to keep it right. We'd be in the tents. The grain was kept all right, I think, and the toilet was in there. So, it was all right.
And what about recreation? What did you do?
Well, I can't remember that. Like I say, I always play football, but I can't remember playing there, to be honest. Not there. I can't remember doing it. It was training.
It was mostly training, was it?
Yeah, because I think we were trying to get the rugby to the front. Just climatise. It was only a couple of weeks or so we were there, then.
What was your daily routine then? You mentioned training.
Yeah, well, your route march.
How often were they?
Pretty regular, then, the last couple of days. We've been down the mountains said, maybe you've got to give him a leave. But he couldn't do it, you couldn't do it. You know, you had to prove you could do it. Tactically and advancing and treating, just like before. In fact, I didn't know him. And he couldn't win it. Bring him to 200, you know, go back and tell him he didn't win it. So I was kept pretty busy, I had to be fit. So it was good, I enjoyed it. And, you know.
That was part of your general training, then you had to be fit.
Yeah, I just wanted to be fit, and I didn't know it. That's how I was in the major.
And would that entail leading from the front?
Yeah, or, you know, if we had a tapping room, maybe I would sweep the teams, and they would come to the court in the middle, you know, advance up the hill or something like that. I just run and fetch him up the lane. The deer's just been with it for that.
And what other things, apart from route marches and general physical fitness, what other kinds of things did you do?
I'll tell you what, the maps and then the compass. I was never a great one for that. But I'll turn up, I was in the region and I didn't get a lot because. You knew where you were at, and things like that, but you could tell them where you were at, just in case you got lost, you know. Hills and that, you know, trying to recognise or something around the border, so you could get back at night time and that. Well, we didn't know night time, because naturally, as we found out, we were running, and it was night time when we did our work and that, so you had to check on the hills and that, you know, so you really couldn't get lost.
Whereabouts did you do this then? Was it close to the camp, or did you go far out?
Well, I just go away from the camp, right, but it was never too far, you know. You might go a mile or so, but, I mean, we're just behind the line there, really. We're only a few miles. I mean, I'm really certain, thinking back, that you could hear big rooms, and I think we could hear them then. It's funny, I've many times thought about it. You never really thought what you were going to do in the front line, you know what I mean? You never really, it was just every day doing it. So you never really thought about the front line.
It must have crossed your mind though.
Yeah, well, it did, like, but I mean, you didn't have any clue what to expect.
Did you never have any kind of formal instruction about the situation in the front line and what was to be expected?
Yeah, I think we did get them talks now about the major weapon. In fact, I think the colonel, I think they gave you, he was talking about something that really could be. He had a good talk about what we expected and all that, you know. And he's trying to carry out that one. He's with me.
Who was that?
Colonel Jeffries.
Colonel Jeffries.
Yeah.
Did you have much to do with him?
Not a lot, just odd times I got there. He visited the company there and he was running along. I realised to see. Because I've been in company, I could have used him to lead you down the road and I could look at the village. So I did see him there.
Just going on back onto the training that you did in this particular camp, which I think you mentioned was general acclimatisation,
yeah.
When you got into Korea, did you do much weapons training there?
Oh yes, we were doing that. I'm really certain that was where we did it's the first time that I've been with the company that we've done all five of together. I mean, we're all going up the hill and there was a rock right across the valley. So we had the brains and all that, and I'm on fire. I've never heard nothing from my life like that.
That was a whole company exercise, was it?
Yeah. I only had a stand with me. And I even tried when my boys were dropping at the valley. I think I wouldn't have reached that, you know. But what a noise.
You had mentioned the Sten Good before in the past, and was that when you were issued with one?
Yeah.
When you got to Korea? What did you think of the Sten Good?
Well, it was good. I mean, in fight, you know, like that. As far as distance, you know, but it was a handy weapon,
because I think it was quite a short range weapon, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, I've given it to
and it was automatic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was automatic. I think I'd rather have that as the 303, you know, the real one. So I was wondering if I did get that.
And that was issued to you personally,
yeah. Yeah. Because there, that camp there, I'm really forgetting about this, when we took over from the KSLI, they had some little roosts, cleaned, you know. And we had them. And we called them Chaser Dan. And he stood with her. And we just kitted out and the gear at the end, and it was worth an hour, isn't it? Anyway, they took them away. They did, they took them all away. And then he was a young man. He was back. He was going to make a better took him. You know, he came back. And then they did take away after that, and they sort of went off. I would love to see him. You know, again, but even just that really few weeks, you know, he stood in there and he couldn't get quiet. Amazing. He's a great man.
You talked about this moment when you all the whole company was firing off at the same time.
Yeah.
What was that for? What was the purpose of that particular manoeuvre? Can you remember?
We'd never done it. It was just to give you a feel of what it was like. I think we did it after another time after that, we went to 2 or 5 just to give you the sound of what it was like, and I'll be honest, it frightened the life out of you. Really, I couldn't exactly explain how. The noise, the engines, rifles, the same standard. And I think we had one from the S Company on the machine guns, fighting from their flanks. And then this rock, and this spring, the bullets and everything. It was fantastic. First time I'd done that, anyway, out of company. And all of the time I had to do that, you know, I took turns. So that was an experience, that one.
Did you ever do anything with the whole battalion while you were there?
Just, just like all the hills, like, advancing, retreating, digging in, and it was in some sort of line that was for the retreat for the front line, you know, the line there. And we were in there and we kept them out when the battalion had to do this. And keep them out just in case that retreat. It had a name, the line, you know.
What did that line consist of?
It was on the hills farther back, and it was barbed wire and trenches. The hutches in the way, you know. And they had to be kept right there just in case they got shot back again. It was a retreat.
So it was a proper line, a retreating line, to fall back on?
Yeah, we were doing that.
And that was while you were in this particular camp that we're talking about?
Because we did it another time, that was great running for the road game. We sort of made one. We knew why we were doing it. Yeah, that was great running. But that one was there.
And you had to actually keep it in order, didn't you?
Yeah, it had to be kept right, I remember that.
What was it like, that particular trench line then?
We had to go about 5 foot deep, you know, so far wide, about 3 foot
wide. 4 or 5 feet deep.
Clear, you know, and the hutches and the firing points.
Was it a straight line or was it?
I used to get them right over the hills, not even. Contours, is that the name of the contours in the hills? Built like that. We didn't dig it. It was already there. I think that was like certainly a train camp. And I think different battalions would do like that. It was doing better for them.
And what did you have to do to it?
I just keep it right, clean it out, the trench, firing points.
And what were the firing points?
I used to get them away from the trench now, and out into the front of the hillside. Grenades in. I couldn't know if there was any grenades in, but there was places for grenades, you know. They were sandbagged. They were firing from. It was just in case they had a retreat.
And it was barbed wired?
Oh, yes, it was barbed wired.
How thick was the barbed wire?
It was about a couple of foot high, you know. There was two rows and there was one. One, you know, one. was poor. So that was kept out of the door.
And you mentioned hoochies.
I mean, that's really down by the road. So we had these sort of kept out. They were all right, they were really.
Can you describe them?
The hoochies are ones I've been in. I've been in them many years ago, first of all, I remember. Oh, I had one just on the young. Just like a wire bed, you know, like nearing the frame and wire. That was your bed.
And what did you put on the top of that? Was there a mattress in there? Just a sleeping bag.
Just a sleeping bag, didn't it?
And how many people would there be in a hoochie?
Well, you see, I was born, I think I was in the place with three of them, you know, and with them. And then we found out that we were through, but something in my mind was in, that's what. But I like to see that feeling again.
And these would be dug in, into the trench system?
Yeah, I wouldn't believe it. They reckon it was just like the First World War. Trench warfare, you know, it was really doing it now.
What kind of condition were they in general, in this particular line?
Well, they weren't bad, right? They weren't even bad, right? They were more or less keeping the tune. And the trench, nothing in the middle, they were falling in decent place. So they weren't in the middle, they were pretty decent. And I think it was sort of getting used to what they were going to do, because they hadn't lived in there anyway.
Yes, I was going to ask, this would be your first contact with...
Yeah.
With this trench system.
Yeah, like the tomb. So this is what that could be at the end, you see, give you the idea that we're getting to it.
Did you have to spend much time in these trenches?
No, not really. We just came out and then we come back to the camp.
So did you do any training with them, you know?
No, just really nothing around in the trenches and nothing with the hutches and nothing. Like I said, just keep going on. I'm not sure whether that was right in front of my mind. I'm not sure whether it was mind or not. I can't remember that. If it was mind in front of me, I'm not sure. I see I was going mind that way, too. So I can't remember if it was mind there or not mind. No, I couldn't. It was a wild bird.
We'll obviously come to them again in more detail when you actually go up into the front line.
That's when I think you realise that.
But again, that must, as you say there, you must have started to realise what you were coming to.
You realised then that you were amongst the death, you know, and let's see what he was. And there was only a few more behind the end.
What was morale like at this point then?
Well, it was alright. The lads were in good health and everything, you know. I mean, we were getting fed. It's one thing soon to know your fair mail up and I think we did speak, to be honest. Yes. We did say that very well too.
What other training were you doing at this point?
Well that was we didn't do any square bashing or anything like that. It was more or less just a training. Gym kit for you and that was a little bit out of blue. That was just an idea, I think. So it wasn't an idea. Really, it was a train up and down the hills. That's what I did at half-way. But the spirit was good. I had nearly certain that when I was last group. Because I was just cracked on everything. I never thought about what we went to really. We knew we were in it. And we didn't know what to expect. That could have turned into it.
And this is all quite practically based training,
yeah.
It? And it, as a company.
Yeah, just to get you.
And of course, your role in this was within the company headquarters.
Yeah, company headquarters.
What was the role of the company headquarters then, within this fighting unit?
Well, that's where they got the orders from. What we were going to do, we treat our advance, come on the flanks or whatever, you know, things like that. We've been in the Second World War. We had them moving ready. So I think we all, we used to make them not done. We got that in the I think they were very respected, mate. He was good. They took advantage of the other one, I think.
Yes, I've no doubt we'll come to that as we go on. So he would issue the orders, and your job was obviously as company runner.
If you didn't want to send them the wireless, see, when we had the signal course with you, I had to take the entertainment to the country and we had the new lieutenant in command, and we had to carry it out, and I had to get back there. So I had to be fit, man. I may have ordered it.
Were you the only runner then within that?
In the company.
Well, obviously it would have a signals, some kind of signals.
I guess I had a signal with it, you know, then the sets on the back, so there were signals.
Because you did a little bit of signals training, didn't you?
Yeah, I had done it on the board map, and like the 8 set, if you had the big set, you know, the rear back set, you know, things and we had a gym. So, major went rear, sometimes I'd go in, and I was, you know, it was in the back. So we had to keep in touch all the time in the country. And it was turning, so yeah. Most times I wouldn't go there, to be honest. You know, I used to go there, you know, like that. And sometimes mine, I've seen it, when I was being like, I would keep the jeep over there, and I had to walk back and tell the two guys, see if the company, to fetch the company up. You know, that was me, you know, without saying a single box, so there was silence. You know, as we found out later on, like the Chinese and the Koreans used to be in India, they could listen to it. So that was why the job was like that. He didn't listen.
So were many messages passed by yourself?
Yeah, I did quite a bit of that, yes. And I put a kid on the wheel. But like I said, it's quite fit to the same room. If you kill me, you get the chance, I'll be with me. You know, that'd be fit.
How long you were at the camp? 2 weeks?
Yeah, just two or three weeks.
And you didn't get much free time within this 2 weeks?
No, not really. I can't. That's about the only time I can't really play football. You didn't get a big load of time off. You know, I really did get a few hours when I was in the middle. I think it was a terrible little nothing, you know, the environment. We didn't have anything. Common group, you know. It wasn't much.
Any other of the training that stands out in your mind?
No, that's about, none of that. It's like 20 times into the conditions, the areas, and it's about it, I think.
Was there much emphasis on the use of the terrain and hills?
I try and visualise the hills very early enough, so on a night, if you're on a night train, you always pick the point that you have it, so you can get back and the returns, like the hours when the major, so I think you need to hear it, go that way. I took out Bob Lyle for that thing, and then put myself in that. And I did. But so the injury I've done once we come down the hill, I think he was in the lead, and then I went flat. And he did, he put all his hands in that, the ball there in that, and fell out. That was the bad time, I made sure that was.
What are all things like camouflage and concealment?
Yeah, I was learning that. You know. Learned what to do in the kitchen, camouflage it, with your packs and all that, what to pull in, every 2 in, you know, so you can stand out through that bit. You know, over the top of the firing points, you didn't just stand up and you had to just sort of gradually, you know, so you couldn't see. Things I used to learn, you know, so it was interesting, really.
Any other exercises and manoeuvres that you can remember taking part in?
I can't remember any of them. I was just training. Yeah, I was training. And gymnastics, I think it was so different. And that was about it, wasn't it?
Was there just the battalion in this particular camp?
Yes, the afternoon was there. I don't
It was just the Durham's, wasn't it?
Really, I see that train come. I think a little bit time, because PSI had been there, you know, we took it from. And we just had a sort of a train.
Yeah, general acclimatisation and training.
Yes.
Where had the KSLI gone then from there? Do you know?
We did get on the train, I got the girl, and I think they came out to Busan. I'm not sure where they got the Empire trip or what we came on with. But I think they came back there early. And then I remember running there, and I was trying to go to Germany, I think it was after that.
No, I think patrolling was quite important. Did you do any... That in that particular camp, was there any training in that particular aspect?
The platoons did. I never, I didn't do much of that then. You know, because we had one of them at the patrol, so I didn't do much. But here we were doing that, and smoke calls, standing patrols, things like that. Like the CIs and company of course, I didn't do much of that. Because we didn't really do this.
And was much of that done at night time, I think you mentioned?
Yeah, night time, yeah. You know, later on, I got to keep his mates, but some of them were loud.
What contact did you have with the UK? Letters and post? Was that efficient?
Yeah, I mean, I used letters, and I'm not sure where it was out then, but the school here, the headmaster, he sort of got the youngsters in our room, and he adopted their company. And he was their pastor's from Liverpool. They sort of adopted it. Pretty early, you know. Yeah, that was something they used to do. Anybody used to send his pastors out.
What kind of things did they used to send you?
She always sent us with toothpaste. It was like gives us, I don't know, if you ever saw it, it was a hard.
In a tin?
Yeah, you used to have to go up and get the pinch. I think I had a few of them. Teeth just used to send them pretty well, you know. Blue polish used to send them. Blue polish they're not to buy, you know, to be good right now. Toothbrush for the man again. The fact that she used to send them beer socks. Because she knew they had a bit sweaty feet. So, I mean, I had played the army for 6 years, but she was the same field. You know, just to keep it going.
Just mentioning army socks there, what sort of kit had you been issued with at this point? You obviously going up to the front line.
Yeah.
What kind of things had you been issued with?
Well, it was all green. They had that in this country, but it was green after that. And combat.
Can you remember what it consisted of?
Well, your combat trousers, I forget what sort of suit it was, but I think you had to take a 3 pair in. But you want to get as you like as the, like, sort of a, stop me for the wheel, you should just shut it down. So that you weren't, when you go through grass or anything, like, you couldn't hear it. You could push off and that thing, but. We had our new boots, rubber BS boots. We got them. I used to hit the tin hammer down, but we had to use it. We had to make a cap covered it, we used to use it out now. We had to get our faces down a bit. Gloves. Mitts, you know, my wife, which, you know, that was the other one. Vests, we got string vests, and underpants. Later on, we got the long johns now. Another strip of film made for the winter.
So that was later. I was just going to ask about any clothing for the winter. Or
I think we got the later on when we took our come up around for the first time. I don't think we got the money. I can't remember.
Anything else that you can remember what you were issued with at this particular time?
I think we've got a big, just a big part. Because I then, shortly after, we got these big parts that you were wearing. Because it was all, They just put me in there, you know. They do their bad luck. And then from side over, you know. And he's there. I think he's 11, he's just here, but he's 20, now he's 25. You know, I don't know, he's... So, really, he went back, that way.
So all in all, do you think that the training you got in there was relevant to what you were going to face when you got up to the front line?
Yes, it was.
The trenches were quite realistic and very much what you were going to come to.
What you come to, you know, so it was a good introduction. The only thing that happened there was the enemy was in front of you there at the moment, you know, but the front line, you know, was exactly the same as the front line. So it did serve a purpose, it was good training.